Medicare begins testing bundled payments. Welcome to the August 29th edition of Policy and Practice, the weekly podcast from Global Medical News. I'm Frances Correa. Physicians and hospitals can now test out bundled payments under Medicare. Federal officials are seeking doctors, hospitals, and a range of other providers to try out the new payment model. The program offers four options for bundling, which the government hopes will appeal to a wide range of health providers. The American Medical Association praised the flexibility of the program and called on Medicare officials to encourage physician-led projects. Here's AMA's immediate past president, Dr. Cecil Wilson.
This to be successful and for physicians to participate actively, then they need to be a part of that process rather than just some larger corporation or larger hospital system or health plan that's organizing these. We think those are important as well, but we also think it's important that physicians be a part of that leadership.
And doctors should seriously consider applying for the bundled program. That's according to Robert Minkin, a healthcare consultant with the Camden Group. He said that bundling is the future of healthcare financing.
The implications of bundled payments and other clinical integration models are that we come to a common best evidence practice approach to care that manages to a fixed budget. And for those physicians that can survive in an environment like that, they will thrive. For those physicians that have difficulty in those situations, it's going to be very tough on them.
In other money matters, the Congressional Budget Office, or the CBO, released its summer report, projecting a $1.3 trillion budget deficit from this year alone. CBO analysts warned lawmakers that if they don't make certain cuts, including the 29.5% Medicare fee cut, the deficit could continue to skyrocket over the next decade. CBO Director Douglas Elmendorf explains.
If most of the expiring tax provisions were extended, if the alternative minimum tax was indexed for inflation, and if Medicare's payments to doctors were frozen rather than falling sharply as under current law, then deficits over the next decade would be about $5 trillion larger than in our baseline projections.
Given the current political environment, it's anyone's guess what lawmakers will do with the CBO's recommendations. Meanwhile, a recent Commonwealth Fund survey found that of the 43 million Americans who lost their jobs in the past 2 years, 60% have gone without basic medical care because they lost their health insurance. 72% said they didn't fill prescriptions, skipped recommended care, and didn't go to the doctor when they had a medical problem. Those who did seek care struggled to pay for it. 32% of respondents said a medical problem caused them to burn through their savings, while 27% said they were unable to pay for food, heat, or rent. The Commonwealth Fund recommended extending jobless benefits so that more people could maintain access to care. But even having a job may not mean having insurance. At least, that's according to surveys from two benefits consulting companies that show 8 to 10% of mid-sized or large businesses plan to stop offering health insurance once the exchanges open in 2014. The Obama administration disputed the findings, pointing to the CBO estimates that only 3 million fewer people will be covered through their jobs and would be able to get insurance elsewhere. Stay tuned for details on the first steps of the Deficit Reduction Supercommittee. And that's the Policy and Practice Podcast. I'm Frances Correa.